Well, good morning, Second Service folks. It's good to see you. If you're our guest this morning, thank you for coming. I hope the music and the message can bless your heart and make it a better day for you. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Ruth, the fourth chapter. This is the final message in a very brief series from the book of Ruth. There are four chapters, so this is the fourth message. We began with a famine in Bethlehem, three funerals in Moab, fear that gripped Naomi and Ruth and Orpha, who were left after the funerals, a farewell that sent Orpha one way and the other daughter-in-law returning to Bethlehem with Naomi. And today we will close with the ultimate and final victory. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So let me give you a little bit of background before I read the fourth chapter to you. A famine came to the land of Bethlehem. Ironically, and strange as it might be, Bethlehem is the breadbasket, and yet in the breadbasket, no food was to be found. But there was not just a food famine. There was a moral famine. For Ruth, the book, is set down in the middle of the book of Judges. It's all about a time in the history of Israel when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And as a result of that, lawlessness and hopelessness abounded. So Elimelech thought he could carry his family to Moab, which is today southern Jordan, across the Jordan River and the Dead Sea from the Promised Land. But there in Moab, things spiraled downward. Elimelech died. His two sons, Chilion and Mahlon, married two Moabite girls. Both of them died, leaving only the daughters-in-laws and Naomi. The time came about a decade later when God returned to Bethlehem in the barley harvest. Hearing of that, Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem. She pled with both of her daughter-in-laws, "Go back to your people. Go back to your country. Go back to your way of life." After some tears were shed, Orpha did just that. But Ruth said, and you've heard it before, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For wherever you go, I will go, and whoever your people are, that's who my people will be, and whoever God you serve, that's the God I will serve. And let death happen to me if that does not come to pass." And so Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem. But in that second chapter, the chapter of their return, they were empty and somewhat bitter. But Ruth went into the fields to just gather enough barley so that the two widows could eat and get by. It was a life of endurance. Something happened in the field of grace. Ruth discovered it was Boaz's field, and more about Boaz in a moment, but this was not a field. It was the field of God's providential purpose. It was God's guidance and leadership that brought her to the place where she found herself. And in this field, there was amazing and abundant and astonishing and alluring and abiding grace that fell upon her. And last week, we learned that as she approached Boaz and signaled that she wanted him to be the kinsman redeemer, he hurriedly agreed, and the process of redemption because of kinship begins to unfold before us. Now let's read the fourth chapter and see how this romantic love story turns out. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, and sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." And then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I've bought from the hand of Naomi all that belongs to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon and Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon. I have brought to be my wife to perpetrate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. And may you act worthily in Ephrathah and be known in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram, and Ram fathered Abinadab. And Abinadab fathered Nahshon, and Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed, Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. A kinsman redeemer. Who was he and what could he do? He needed to be the nearest relative to the person who was redeemed. He needed to be willing, desirous to do so, and he needed to be able to redeem. What were the possibilities? What could he do? Well, if his relative had been sold into bondage or slavery, he could free them. If someone died and left a widow without children, he could marry them and bring about children to that union. And if land had been sold because of the poverty in the family, he could redeem the land and buy it back. And by the way, the only time that that could be done without a kinsman redeemer was the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. And so if it fell in such a way that the year of Jubilee was a good ways off, a kinsman redeemer was the only hope to recover that which was lost. Boaz. Boaz had the right to redeem. Boaz had the resolve, the determination to redeem. Boaz had the resources to redeem. And Boaz had a reason to redeem. Let's divide the chapter into those four thoughts for a moment. Boaz had the right to redeem. What is all of this at the first of chapter 4? Who is this other fella, the nearer redeemer, as he is called? Well, there was one man standing between Boaz and Elimelech and their relationship. So by law, Boaz had to offer that one man the right to redeem. And he did so. And if you read the subtlety by which he did so, it's somewhat amusing. There is this beautiful piece of land that Elimelech owned. And yet Naomi must sell that because she lives in poverty. And the near redeemer said, I'll take it, I'll buy it. Land, it'll be worth something to me. And Boaz says, but when you get the land, you get a wife. And her name is Ruth, and she is from Moab. And her husband died before she bore children. And it will be your responsibility to continue the family line. And there was silence. Why don't you redeem, Boaz? Because that would spoil my inheritance. Why do you think the near redeemer, who is unnamed, would feel that way? He wanted the land. He quickly said, I'll buy the land. But when offered the wife, he backed off as quickly as possible. Could it be that he, the perfect Jew, suddenly recognized that he would need to marry a Moabitess woman, who, by the way, was the scum of the earth to the Jews in that day? Could it be that he recognized she had nothing, and that she was from nowhere, and would do him no good? Could it be that the way he felt was simply this: the land would be worth something to me, but the wife would be worthless to me? He must have felt that way because of who he was, a perfect and pure-blooded Jew. But when he denied the right to purchase the land and the wife, Boaz quickly responded with great resolve, I will purchase not only the land, but the wife that goes with it. And why would one hurry to purchase while the other regretfully declined to purchase? Well, maybe it's Boaz and the past that he had experienced. Maybe it's a difference in the heart of the two men. One said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I'll not pursue the purchase. And Boaz said, she may be from Moab, but my eyes have fallen on her, and my heart has been attracted to her, and she has appeared to me to be godly and beautiful and wonderful in my eyes. And if he was reminded that she was from Moab, and if he was reminded that her mother was an ungodly, idolatrous woman, he would have also been reminded that his mother was Rahab the harlot. Oh my, does that change the story? Matthew chapter 1 and the legacy and lineage of Jesus Christ reminds us that Boaz was born not to a godly and perfect Jewish woman, but to a harlot. It would have changed everything. And while you may have never thought this thought and don't like the fact that I'm about to say this saying, one of the reasons why Jesus could love us so was because he too was born to an ungodly woman. You see, Mary was just like all of the other women of her day. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mary is not a saint to be worshipped. She is a woman to be honored and appreciated. But it was the Holy Spirit that was perfect, that conceived in an earthly woman the Christ child. He could be our kinsman redeemer for the same reason that Boaz could be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. He saw her not because of where she came from. He saw her not because of who she was. He saw her as she could be. And he loved her in spite of, not because of. And his great resolve to marry her was because he saw in her something that he'd even seen in himself. And he desired her and loved her in such a way that her past was going to be wiped away and her future was going to be made perfect by what he was about to do when he took her unto himself. He not only had the right, he was a family member. He had the resolve, a great desire, and a great devotion in his heart that there was no delay, that he runs to the city gate, and he gathers up 10 elders of the city, and he brings the nearer Redeemer into the circumstance and offers him all that Elimelech had lost. And when he rejected it, Boaz said, "I'm sitting on ready. I've seen her. I love her. I desire her. Oh, yeah, I'll take the land. But what I really want is Ruth, because I love her." And the first Redeemer said, "I want the land, but I don't think I'll take the Moabite." And oh, my Savior came not for the material things of this world, not because he wanted to take something, but because he loved somebody, and you and I are that somebody that he loved. "I'll take this world. I created it. I might as well take it. But I will undertake to save those who come to me and trust in me and believe in me, for I am a kinsman redeemer." He knew her past. It didn't faze him. He knew who she was, where she'd come from, and what she did not have. And he saved her and redeemed her anyway. I want you to think with me about the resources that he had to redeem. Now he is the nearest Redeemer. There was one other. We've talked about him. And there are others that would attempt to redeem you. Because in this world in which we live, there are those who think keeping the law redeems. But what a sad state of affairs to remember that the law not redeems, but condemns. There are those who would claim you're redeemed in the baptistry, but what a sad state of affairs to discover that water without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart and life does nothing more than get you wet. There are those that would think membership would redeem, walking a church aisle and joining a church, but how sad for us to realize that membership does nothing but puts our name on a piece of paper in somebody's office somewhere. It's the shed blood of Christ. It's coming to Jesus that puts our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, where it is never forgotten. We're always forgiven in his presence. What a sad state of affairs to think that that other Redeemer, who would take our land, who would take from us all that we have, but who does not want us. And I want to be redeemed by somebody who wants me. And my Jesus wants me. He laid down on a cross and extended his hands and his feet to nails that Romans drove. He was lifted up high between his heaven and his earth because he wants me. All that the Father giveth to me will come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out. He wants me. He wants you. Isn't it good to be wanted? Isn't it good to be loved? What have you got that would make me love you? Nothing. What have you done that would make me love you? Nothing. Where have you come from that would make me love you? Nowhere. But I love you. Regardless of what you have done, regardless of what you have, regardless of where you've come from, I love you because you are you, and I, he says, am a kinsman redeemer. Oh, that near redeemer needs to go. He didn't want us anyway. But my redeemer loves me so. What resources did he have? Well, I want to tell you two things this morning. Second one, shouting ground, so I'm just warning you, you can get ready. Here's the first one. Boaz redeemed all the land Elimelech had lost. Every square inch of the property that had been lost when Elimelech had to sell it all and move to Moab, Boaz redeemed it. All the land comes back home. Here's the shouting ground. He not only redeemed the land, the property, he redeemed the person of Ruth. Now, I'm glad God put back in my pockets all that the devil stole from me. I'm glad he put back in my future all the devil took when I sinned and fell short of his glory. But I'm most glad that my sin is forgiven and plunged behind God, forgotten, covered in the blood of the Lamb, and will never be brought up again. I'm glad he redeemed me. If I had to go to heaven with nothing but the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I'm glad he covered me with his blood. But I've got so much more. He didn't just redeem me, he redeemed all around me, he redeemed everything that was lost in the original sin, is regained in the shed blood of Christ. Now, let me just give you a little something, and I want to do this because I hear it all the time from people. Brother Don, I'm afraid when we get to heaven, there are going to be screens up there bigger than the ones we've got here. And my whole life's going to be put up on the screen. And they're going to show everything I've ever done. And Jesus is going to be going, oh, no. Oh, and when it's over, when that whole thing flashes by and it's over, I may get a little something. I may not get a little something. Isn't that how it's going to be? Heavens, no. Now, listen. Listen. No screens in heaven. And let me tell you why. There's nothing to show on those screens. My sin and your sin has been plunged into the sea of divine forgetfulness. God remembers it no more. He'll never bring it up again. I am washed pure and clean in the blood of the Lamb. Well, hallelujah to his name. The only thing that shall be judged in heaven is the works that we have done, our motives, and if pure, silver and gold, if not straw and hay, but your sin is blotted out. Your Redeemer not only had the resources, but the reason to redeem you. And I'll close with just two little thoughts here. He redeemed her, number one, because he loved her. Isn't that good? He redeemed her because he didn't have any other agenda. He didn't have any other motive. He had all these fields that the barley was growing in, and they were harvesting them in every direction. He did not need Elimelech's land. He just redeemed her because he loved her. That was his only motive and agenda. I'm afraid that's not true of Satan. Satan comes into my life and your life to get from us what he can get. He has an agenda to rob us. He's a thief. He's a liar. Jesus said so in the Gospel of John, and he's come to take whatever he can take. Satan is a taker. Jesus is a giver. And he didn't come to take from me. He came to give to me. He didn't have an agenda to get what I've got. He has an agenda to give me what he has, grace and mercy from the throne of God. The only reason he redeemed me is because he loves me. And there's a second thing said just in the last couple of three verses. He is a giver of life. You see, had Ruth not been redeemed, when Naomi died, the name that Elimelech had established in Israel would have died with her. The only way that name can continue is if a redeemer comes to Ruth and a child is born. So he not only loved her, he wanted life to be abundant and eternal in her family. Now, in case you didn't recognize the names, I'll just close with that. When Ruth had a baby, the women of Bethlehem said to Naomi, "You ought to call that baby Obed." Not a name you'd pick out or I'd pick out, but it's a name, Obed. Well, Obed doesn't mean much until you find out that when Obed had a son, his name is Jesse. And that really doesn't mean a whole lot until you figure out that Jesse had several sons. And that one day Samuel came and looked over all of the sons of Jesse until he came to the younger one who was a teenage boy who was keeping sheep for his father. And he said, "Send for him, get him up here. I want to meet this younger son." And the moment the younger son walked in, he said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's David." And they poured oil on this teenage boy because David was the next king of Israel. And there's 14 generations from Abraham to David. And there's 14 generations from David to the Babylonian captivity. And there's 14 generations from the Babylonian captivity to the day Jesus rides triumphantly into the city to be crucified on an old rugged cross. And the lineage went on because of Boaz. Leave him out, and there's no Obed. Leave him out, and there's no Jesse. Leave him out, and there is no David, a man after God's own heart. Leave him out, and there is not a city whose builder and maker is God, and a throne upon which our kinsman redeemer will sit like his father David did. Leave him out, and you have nobody that loves you and nobody that wants eternal life for you. You talk about the providence of a sovereign God, how in one little place with one man and one woman can keep alive the hope of the world, the romance of redemption. That's what the book of Ruth is all about. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. And his child forever I am. Let's stand. Someone unsaved without Christ, he's your kinsman redeemer. He loves you and wants you to have everlasting life. Someone, a member of another church that wants to become a part of our church family, these moments are for you. Someone who recognizes that your life is a little wobbly before God. You're a little unstable in your Christian walk. You've drifted away and you're not where you ought to be, and you know that. These altar is open. These stairs are here for you to come and just kneel down and pray, or the pastors will be here to pray with you. Just two or three moments of invitation while God speaks to your heart. Do you need a Redeemer? Jesus is such. Do you need today to recognize His love and His life? Just come and let Him speak peace to your heart. Pastors, you come, be in the altar. Daryl, you lead us in this song of invitation.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite